talked about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Is this a joke?
No, not joking. This is real. Painfully real, what is happening right now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I have a disease of the saliva disease.
You have herpes? I caught it last time I went on the United Airlines flight here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
From the flight attendant.
Yes, sir.
I think his name was Kevin.
Yes.
He gave you it too?
Yes, sir. Kevin. Kevin gave, he gives everybody herpes.
Correct. Right.
That's why the service is so good.
Happiness and sunshine and butterflies and flowers.
Damn, damn, damn.
And now.
I've got guns, bullets, lots of bullets. Lots of bullets.
Our feature presentation.
But do you have bullets? Lots of bullets.
Lots of bullets.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning. It's 5:35. I would like to start with the story of Edwin Tobergta. I believe I'm saying that right. T-O-B-E-R-G-T-A.
Okay.
Tobergta. He just got out of jail. He was in jail for having sex with a pool raft.
I take it was not in his own backyard.
Well, it was in the neighbor's alleyway.
Oh, not even in a pool.
Oh, God, no. No, the neighbor.
That's too easy.
The neighbor said the 32-year-old was caught getting freaky with his pink inflatable raft in an Ohio alleyway. The neighbor called police and reported that he was on top of the flotation device with, quote, his pants down around his ankles. I'm trying to figure out exactly how this works. Because it doesn't seem like it's made for that.
There's no particular...
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, there's no...
So he's just rubbing, right?
There's no
sorta.
Target. Right.
Seems like you could do that anywhere. You don't really need to be in an alley with somebody's pool toy.
So the suspect fled with the raft and then was arrested.
With the raft?
You want to take it with him. And then was arrested a short time later. Today, this was a couple of days ago, he was indicted by a Butler County grand jury after a child witnessed him last month stepping out his back door naked and having sexual relations with a rubber pool float. So this is the exact same one that he got caught with in 2011. He got arrested again for having sex with a pool float.
I wonder if it was the same float.
Actually, it is. It does say that it is.
So this is love.
It must be a sexy-ass pool float.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know how sexy pool floats can get, but this one seems to be the best.
But I think it's striking that he ran off with the float. He wasn't going to let his love be left behind.
Right. No, of course not. That's what any gentleman would
do. Sure, absolutely.
He's been arrested at least 5 times in the past for similar offenses. So this is his 6th arrest for having sex with a pool toy or raft or whatever.
So, and he could do it at home, but he wants everyone to
witness. I think he wants people to see his love. He
yeah.
wants to show people how much in love he is with this.
Look, people are coming out of the closet all over this country.
Yeah, but with a tool, a pool raft, I mean.
I'm just saying, he doesn't want to be left behind.
He could be, it wouldn't hurt him to nail the raft inside in the living room.
And just hold hands on the outside.
It would
That's
not,
what most of us do.
Right, exactly. You just hold hands, maybe occasionally kiss
a
outside.
Kiss, sure.
But too much PDA and people get a little bit uncomfortable, especially when your pants are around your ankles.
Yeah, so that's understandable.
It's a 6th arrest for that.
All
6th.
Right.
If you're keeping count at home, that's 6. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have writer, director, actor Kevin Smith on the program.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to give away tickets for Comic-Con when he's here. We're going to give you a chance to stump both Kevin Smith and Ralph.
Oh, you don't want to give any tickets away.
Yeah, this might be very difficult because those two are experts.
Yeah.
And they may not be stumped at all. So we're going to give that a shot a little bit later on this morning. We have comedian Kumail Nanjiani. No possible way I said any of those was correct.
Uh-huh.
But he's a very funny comedian. He was on the Jeselnik Offensive, and now he's got his own comedy special that we're going to talk about. We have Anthony Ferrante, who is the director of Sharknado.
Oh, yes.
This is a tornado that is raining sharks down on the city.
You don't want that.
And that's on tonight. So can't wait for that. Brand new internet roundup. And Shaq has a new soda. I don't know if you've heard about this. He has a new soda.
Mm-mm.
He's been doing a lot of endorsements lately, but this is the first time that he's actually put his name on a soda. So we're going to talk about that today as well. We will take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
All right, take it easy. It's not really raining that hard.
It is. It's coming down.
Cats and dogs.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:53. Ralph Garman is here for his first look at the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah! Yeah!
What's that?
Just trying to get a little energy back up for the okay. Showbiz Beat, everybody.
Yeah!
By saying that for yourself?
Yeah. All right. This is news that creeped some people out yesterday. I don't really see a problem with it. Bobby Christina Brown, the emotionally damaged daughter of Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown, announced yesterday the engagement between herself and a gentleman named Nick Gordon, who for a long time lived with Whitney and Bobby as pretty much Whitney's adopted son. She never legally adopted him. But
they're not related by blood.
They're not related by blood.
All right.
But Nick did move in as a teen, and Whitney helped kind of straighten him out and get him on the on a better path and helped develop him into a better young man. And apparently Bobby, Christina, and Nick have fallen very much in love, and they intend to get married. And a lot of people freaked out and said, oh, it's brother and sister, they're getting married. People said that. But look. Who are we to judge, right? They're not legal. They're not related by blood.
It's a little creepy.
Why?
Just because they lived as brother and sister.
They lived in the same house. Who knows how they lived? We don't know, man. Stop being. Hey,
I was there.
Take off those judgmental glasses you're wearing. So everyone's very upset. She made a statement saying, decisions I make have nothing to do with you regarding the press. We're not brother and sister, and Bobby says that her mother knew they would probably start dating when she brought Nick into the fold of the family, so maybe Whitney saw something coming. Anyway.
Let's go back to Whitney.
She's 20. That's the more disturbing part of the whole thing for me than anything else, that she's planning on getting married at 20 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Whitney Houston bringing somebody in to straighten out their lives.
Well,
that's odd.
She said she would always love him.
Wow.
Hey, it's 7-Eleven today.
File.
How can we have a 7-Eleven show without the man who loves 7-Eleven more than anyone?
This will be the best one ever.
It's true. It does feel pretty good.
Yeah.
However, if you stop by 7-Eleven today, that you will get a free Slurpee. I didn't want to ignore that fact just because Bean's not here. That's as refreshing and enjoyable as that is. You can still get a free Slurpee if you go by 7-Eleven today.
All right.
And not those crappy 7-ounce free Slurpees they used to give out on the birthday.
Little shot glasses.
Yeah, now it's the full-blown 12-ounce Slurpee, bitches. So get your summer on, people. Linda Lohan! This is shocking news. Folks connected with her at the rehab where she is currently getting treatment, saying she has a real shot at staying clean and sober this time around.
Really? So we've heard some rumors that she's really taken it seriously this time.
Sources at the rehab say she's responding very well to treatment.
Huh.
And her team of specialists would like her to stick around for an extra 30 days just to sort of cement the tools in place that she's been using to keep her sobriety. However, she is dead set on attending the premiere of The Canyons, that movie she made in Venice, the Venice Film Festival next month. So they are going to release her on schedule, but she promised her doctors that she was going to be a good little rehab patient and attend her meetings and work the 12 steps and...
How about that?
Try to keep things going, so... I think I... Look, I really hope that she keeps her act together because I think she's got a lot of potential as a person and as an actress. And I'm looking forward to that big pool party Mom's going to throw for her when she gets home. That should be helpful. And speaking of booze, Dan Aykroyd... Maybe he doesn't need Ghostbusters 3. Maybe he can just fall back on his other job. You know, he has this line of vodka, Crystal Head Vodka. Familiar with this? He makes his own vodka?
No.
He's got a line of vodka.
Okay.
Crystal Head Vodka. He just entered it in the vodka competition in Moscow, which, as you can imagine, is pretty tough competition.
Yeah.
His brand beat out 400 other competitors to win the gold medal at the vodka exhibition.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
That's impressive.
Yes, it is. Russia is neither is not communist any longer, nor is vodka. And I don't get it. But
open up a blog.
Nice try. It's back. The Return of Babylon, Hollywood Babylon. Kevin Smith and I are doing our show Friday night at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose. We'd love to have you come out and hear us talk crap about people whose lives are so much better than ours. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. Friday at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I doing our show. Celebrity birthdays today. Mindy Sterling, very funny actress, is 60 years old today. Actress Celia Ward turns 54. Richie Sambora of Bon Jovi's 54 years old today. Lisa Rinna is 50. Her lips are 3.
Again.
Scott Shriner of Weezer, 48 years old today. Our buddy Greg Grunberg turns 46. John Henson, my twin brother of another mother from Wipeout, he is 46 years old. Actor Justin Chambers is 43. And Michael Rosenbaum, who of course played Lex Luthor on Smallville for many years, is 41. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Your chance for Comic-Con tickets coming up a little bit later on this morning with Kevin Smith when he comes into the studio. And we also have comedian Kumail Nanjiani coming into the studio as well. Right now it's time to talk about Shaquille O'Neal. He's, of course, used to be a Laker. He used to be Orlando. He used to play for Orlando.
Oh, okay.
And he's got a new soda. Shaq has a new soda. It's called Soda Shaq. Listen to this.
Shaquille O'Neal is always doing it big. The NBA legend and TNT analyst has just launched the new soft drink Soda Shaq with famous drink maker Arizona Iced Tea. The former center for the Miami Heat, Los Angeles Lakers, and Orlando Magic made the announcement to his 7.1 million followers. Yo, Drink Arizona just launched the new delicious Soda Shaq. Keep up, kids. Coming to stores very soon, he tweeted.
I love her reading it like that. Yo! We thought we'd check in with Shaq and find out just exactly what's going on with the soda. Hi, Shaq.
All right. How are you doing, Kevin?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
So you got a new soda.
New Soda Shaq.
Soda Shaq.
Soda Shaq cream soda. Everybody drink it. Goodbye.
Now, explain how this came about. How did you get your own soda?
No, I got a poem. First, I got a poem.
What?
I got a new poem. I got a poem for the soda.
Did you say you have a poem?
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to say I wrote a poem.
Okay.
Okay. The Big Aristotle has a poem for you. Okay.
Okay.
I got a new soda for you. Drink every drop and don't waste. And I got a question for you. Kobe, how my can taste? Kobe, how my can taste? How it tastes?
Really, it's still a burn on Kobe if you come out with a soda?
Dwight Howard don't like him either. Nobody like Kobe. Nobody like him.
Yeah, but you don't like Dwight Howard.
But okay.
You said some pretty bad things.
The enemy of my enemy.
Okay.
My friend.
All right. So where can we get the Shaq soda? The
7-11.
Soda Shaq. 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven.
All right, take it easy. Just ask.
Soda. 7-Eleven and stand in my footprints and drink my soda.
Stand in your footprints and drink your soda.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. What if you don't like cream soda, though?
Then you're a fool.
Right.
Cream soda is the best soda in the world. And when I was a kid, I loved cream soda. I drink a lot of cream soda. And now I made my own cream soda. How's my can taste?
Now, when you say you made your own, it's not like you sat there with scientists and came up with the right taste, right?
I did. I sat there with all the soda scientists. We put on our lab coats.
Right.
And we made Shaq soda. Soda Shaq cream soda. All the different flavors everybody loves. Cream soda.
All right. What do you mean all the different flavors?
Well, I come to 4 delicious Shaq flavors.
Okay.
We got this one. We got blueberry Shaq soda. Oh, yeah. Blueberry.
Oh, how's that?
Oh, man.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
Oh. It does.
Blueberry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's good. Drink some.
What?
What's wrong?
It's good. Drink it.
Why did you spit?
No, it's good. I just never tasted them until now. But it's good.
You've never tried them before.
Yeah, no, it's good. Soda. Everybody drink it. And we got vanilla cream. That's my favorite vanilla cream soda.
I love vanilla cream.
Vanilla cream soda is the classic cream soda.
Right.
Everybody likes vanilla cream. I'm going to try this one.
You try that one? All right. How's that one? This is the first time you're...
What?
It tastes like Shaq's shoe.
Oh. That's not what you're going for.
No, it's good. Everyone buy it.
You just said it tastes like Shaq's shoe.
Everyone buy new soda Shaq. It's delicious. It comes in 2 other flavors.
Which ones? What are the other flavors?
Orange cream soda.
Have you tasted?
It's like a doing those arm push-ups. You got an ice cream?
Yes.
Ice cream man! Hey, ice cream man! Hey, ice cream man, stop. Give me a push-up. Oh, yeah, that's ice cream for the push-up.
I'll try that one. Now, how's that? How's the orange cream?
Tastes orange.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Like a basketball is orange.
Right.
Does taste like a basketball.
Well, that's not what you want in a soda.
Strawberry cream,
okay.
That's got to be good.
All right, let's give that a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried these maybe before they made it to the market.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
How's that one?
Nope, that's not good.
Coming up, we have a brand new internet roundup. We have the director of Sharknado. We have Kumail Nanjiani. I think is how you say his last name. We have Kevin Smith in the studio. We have your Comic-Con tickets. But first, it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We have way too many stories, including Scooter, the fugitive llama that got tased.
Oh, Scooter.
We have Willie, the foul-mouthed cockatoo. We have the loud, horny cicadas.
Uh-huh.
We have Ralph, Britain's fattest rabbit. We have Ty, the tiger with the world's largest hairball. We have the Florida crazy ants that eat electrical equipment. We have Thelma and Louise, the two-headed turtle, the giant Iranian rats, and the man-face, the feral cat, mistaken for a mountain lion. Not exactly sure why that happens, but it does. And we have Hamilton, the hipster cat. So all of those are on the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Let's spin it!
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but can't. So we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Here we go. Here we go. As soon as it stops, I will tell you that it is Ralph, the world's largest bunny rabbit.
Wow.
How about that?
How big is Ralph?
Ralph is 55 pounds. It's a rabbit that weighs 55 pounds and has reclaimed the Guinness World Record for being the largest rabbit.
Damn, that's a big rabbit.
There's a Guinness World Record for it, and Ralph weighs in at 55 pounds and has now taken the crown.
Well, I guess that must be proud day for Ralph.
Moment with, thank you. Let's check in with Ralph. Hi, Ralph.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Congratulations on your title.
Thank you. I'm glad to have it.
Now, how long have you been eating now?
Yes.
Yeah. Could you wait, maybe 2 minutes?
No.
Okay.
Sadly.
How long have you been trying to get this record? How long have you been working on it?
Well, it's not a record that I've been working on. It's just that's the way I am. I like to eat things, and I'm big boned.
It does say in the article that you eat $90 worth of food a week.
Yeah.
That seems like maybe it's a little much.
Well, I'm a big rabbit.
Right.
So I need lots of food.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Well, it does. It's just, it seems like maybe you could, let's say you cut it down to $80 a week. You'd probably be okay.
Oh, I'd probably starve then, wouldn't I?
Well, I doubt it.
I would. I'd waste away to just 45 pounds of rabbit.
Are you healthy?
I'm very healthy.
Okay. All right.
Look at me run.
I can't really see anything.
Well, there's nothing to see, really.
It doesn't seem like you're going very fast, though.
I can't get up.
Oh.
But I do eat a lot.
Right. What's your diet made of?
Usual carrots and other things that rabbits like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also augment it with a few other of my favorite foods.
Like?
I'll eat a monkey once in a while.
How does a rabbit eat a monkey? That's not possible.
It is possible. You just have to go eat it bit by bit. I've got very sharp, pointy teeth.
I'm sure you do,
I'm able to eat a rabbit. Not a rabbit. That'd be sick.
That would be sick.
A monkey.
That'd be cannibalism.
I eat a monkey from time to time.
Okay.
I like pork, too. I'll have a pig from time to time.
Okay. What's that?
I'll have a cockatoo. Nothing nothing wrong with a cockatoo.
No, of course not.
That's what I say.
As a snack.
Right.
Apparently, sometimes I will eat a swarm of bees.
Is that right?
Yes. Seems dangerous.
It does. It seems like I could get other foods more easily than trying to eat bees out of a hive.
It does seem like a lot of work.
But I'm a hungry rabbit.
Duck?
Really? I eat a duck. Yeah. Once in a while, I like to eat a duck.
Right.
Even the bill.
You eat the bill?
I eat the bill. Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
Well, you need roughage. It's good for fiber. I'll eat this. Sometimes I have a wolf.
You'll eat a wolf.
See, I will eat a wolf.
Wolf? It seems to me like a wolf would tear you up.
Well, I eat a sleeping wolf.
Oh.
But the wolf... I wait till he's asleep. I'm not an idiot. I'm just fat.
So you catch him while he's taking a nap.
The wolf don't always agree with me.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because, personality-wise, of course, but also the food. It's very rich, wolf.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that right? I see.
Oh, no.
You need less wolf.
Wolf.
Look at all of those bees.
Coming up just after the top of the hour, we have a brand new internet roundup, and then we have the director of Sharknado.
Sharknado!
Is that the theme?
No, there is a theme. We should play it.
Anthony Ferrante is going to be here, so we're going to talk to him about that fantastic movie, which
Sharknado!
Which is on tonight.
It is on Sci-Fi.
Check that out. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Sci-Fi's having a day-long Mutant Shark Festival, Film Festival.
Now, I found out yesterday that a lot of people that work on this show thought you were making up these titles.
No.
Of these shark movies.
Goofy people?
That's what I said.
Go to your DVRs. Go to your guides for your cable channels and your DirecTVs and look at Sci-Fi today, and you will see each and every one of those titles stacked up over the airport just waiting to give you nothing but mutant shark pleasure. So you can see, is it Mega Shark versus Super Octopus or something?
I don't remember.
That one? Sharktopus, of course. The legendary Sharktopus.
Sure.
The one that put really mutant shark movies on the map. Yeah. I gotta think.
Because you were in it.
Well, I'm not claiming it was because of me, but it is the stuff of
Which
legend.
One does the shark jump out of the ocean and bite a plane?
I think that's Mega Shark.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's good
Could
stuff.
Happen.
Good stuff going on at Sci-Fi. I do want to give you a heads up. Friday night at 10 p.m., that's tomorrow night at 10, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our patented brand of drunken and stoned comedy at the Improv on Melrose, the Hollywood Improv. You can go to improv.com or csmod.com for details and for tickets. But it's basically Kevin and I talking about the week's showbiz news and me doing silly voices and getting drunker and drunker. And he starts off very, very stoned. So it's very confusing in the first hour or so. And then we kind of meet up in the middle. The more drunk I get, and he starts to get a little less stoned.
You should just rename it Drunken Stoned.
We really should. That should be our,
just the name of
our vaudeville act name. Ladies and gentlemen, now here's Drunken Stone. We will be talking about Justin Bieber, pop scrotum Justin Bieber, who, of course, this week got a lot of attention when that vulgar video surfaced of him peeing in a bucket in a restaurant's kitchen.
Where's the outrage there?
And then screaming F Bill Clinton at a picture of the former president before spraying it with some kitchen cleaner.
Everybody was like, what's that about exactly?
Or a boot, more importantly. Yeah. The incident apparently has led Justin to speak to President Clinton himself.
Really?
He tweeted on Wednesday, Bill Clinton, thanks for taking the time to talk, Mr. President. Your words meant a lot. # great guy.
That means he didn't talk to him, by the way. Look, if Bieber claims that it happens, no possible.
My favorite tweets are the ones who came after that. In life, you will make mistakes and people will try and tear you down, but you got to stay positive. Hey, no, we're not trying to tear you down. You're the one that peed in a janitor's bucket.
We didn't make that up.
And then screamed F the president and sprayed cleaning solution on his picture. Well, how are we tearing you down? Wild boys.
You're tearing yourself down.
See the video? Is douchebag cronies behind said, who we? We the wild boys. Yeah, wild boys.
Dear God.
We're tearing him down. Try to stay positive, Justin, while we attack you so pointlessly without any sort of provocation or evidence. Oh, wait a minute. You're peeing in a bucket on a video. Asshole. Then my favorite tweet by far. Stay strong. and learn to be better, and always live to serve others and the Lord, he tweeted.
What?
Well, nothing serves Jesus more than peeing in a working man's bucket. Justin Bieber.
That is the Lord's work.
Oh, Lord loves some wild boys. You tremendous douchebag. I really want something bad to happen to him.
Well, he is obnoxious and then, like you say, tries to take the higher ground and say, hey, people are trying to tear me down. I got to stay positive.
It's like when he said that, well, all this other stuff shouldn't be mentioned.
Right.
Because I'm an artist and I'm brilliant. F you. I hope some career-ending
shark bite.
I don't want to wish physical harm on anyone, but some sort of scandal or something just brings him down to the point where he's, you know, working at a Tim Hortons back at home or something. That's a donut shop.
I don't
in
even
Canada.
Know what that is.
It's a very popular donut. When I think Dunkin' Donuts when I say Tim Hortons.
All right. But if he was working there, I'd fly to Canada to order food.
I would too. I'd show up every day to get you know, a croissant and some coffee and just not tip him. I'd like take it to my bill and I put it in the jar and go, whoop, and I just pull it back out again.
Nope, not for you.
Interesting casting news. I know, Kevin, you, like I, am a fan of Summer Glau.
Yes, I do love her.
You know her from Firefly and Dollhouse and the Sarah Connor Chronicles. She was the Terminator in that, remember?
Yep.
She was also had a recurring role on Alphas. She was on that show off and on. She has just been added to the cast of Arrow over there on the CW.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I like that show, too.
She'll play the vice president of a company out to take over Queen Consolidated and its boss, Oliver Queen, so you can check her out. She's got a great sci-fi track record.
She does.
And while we're talking about superheroes and film and television projects, this chilled me to the bone yesterday. Rumors surfaced after Vin Diesel tweeted that he was meeting with Marvel about taking on a role in the new Marvel movie. Rumor has it he will star as Ant-Man.
The lamest of the superheroes.
Well, Ant-Man also becomes Giant-Man, so you got that going for you.
You don't think he has the acting chops? I just
think he carries so much bad baggage.
He does.
He's just a horrible actor, and he's got that swagger, and just... I know he's a huge star with those Fast and Furious films, so maybe they're trying to tap into that market, but... Hank Pym, who's Ant-Man, is like a scientist and
I don't know anything about that,
a brainy guy and everything. He just doesn't strike me. Like, Ant-Man, yeah, I picked things up on my head.
It seems like the Fast and Furious is successful in spite of him.
Yeah.
And he bugs me.
The stars of that movie are really cars on fire.
Yeah,
right?
Cars and driving. And it's car porn.
Yeah.
Basically.
Today's celebrity birthday is actress Mindy Sterling. She's 60 years old today. You may remember her as Frau Farbissina from the Austin Power movies.
Oh, right.
Scott! Screamed out a lot in those films. Very funny actor. She's 60 years old today. Celia Ward, beautiful and talented, is 57 years old. Richie Sambora of John Bon Jovi's band, Bon Jovi. Are they still working together? They have a falling out or
don't
something,
know.
Didn't they? He's 54. Singer Suzanne Vega. Remember Luca?
Sure.
My name is Luca.
She lives on the second floor.
She did. That's exactly where she lived, Kevin. She's 54 years old today. Actress Lisa Rinna is 50. Scott Schreiner of Weezer is 48. Actor Greg Grunberg is 47 years old today. John Henson, host of Your Wipeout, is 46. Actor Justin Chambers is 43. And Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor for many seasons on Smallville, turns 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. Kumail Nanjiani is going to be here in the 8 o'clock hour. Very funny comedian. He's got a new special on. We have Anthony Ferrante, who is the director of Sharknado, coming up a little bit later on this hour. Right now, it's time for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We have a bunch of videos. You can find them all at krock.com, kevinandbean.com. It is the brand new Internet Roundup. It's one page with all of these videos on it, so you don't have to skip around and try and find them all. They're all put there for you. The first one is the ring-style wake-up prank. And this is a guy who it looks like spends a good hour or so making – it looks like a ghost come out of a television. And there's a girl who's asleep that's facing the TV. And when she wakes up, she's going to see this ghost coming out of the TV. And the noise she makes – is not a normal human noise. Listen to when she wakes up.
Oh,
this?
That noise is coming out of her.
Oh, my God.
That's how scared she is of this particular thing. A little more?
Yes.
Come on.
It's an animal.
That's right, it is. Maid of Honor, the best toast ever. She's an Eminem fan.
Uh-huh.
So the Maid of Honor gets the microphone. She's standing in front of everybody in the wedding party, and she does this.
I created a monster because she doesn't want to see Gabs no more. She wants Carol with chopped liver. Well, if you want Carol, this is what I'll give you. A big party, but you can't drink hard liquor. Back in time, and I'll start it online. Blake said he was fine, but it's president he was lying.
When I first saw this one, I thought, oh, come on. She's going to rap. She's not bad.
She isn't considering, bad at all.
Considering. Here's a dude, and I don't know why he's doing this, but he is headbutting a car window. Looks like he's trying to break it.
Could he be drunk?
And he's, I'm guessing so. And he's convinced that if he just hits the window hard enough with his head, it will break. And so he hits it with his head over and over, literally knocking himself on his ass, getting back up. And taking a run at the car.
Because maybe there's a different place right on that window that would do it.
Same place every time.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
So the guy laughing and doing the commentary is a friend who's just saying, stop this. You're going to kill yourself. And he just keeps doing.
Oh, God damn.
Damn. Cut bone, you're going to give yourself a concussion. You got to stop.
All right, last time.
Go!
All right, last time I'm like, okay.
Does he ever break the window? No, he does not. But he probably does have a concussion. He literally knocks himself on his ass a bunch of times.
That's brilliant.
Kevin and Bean, internet roundup at kevinandbean.com. This is Sorkinisms 2. What's his name? Adam Sorkin? No. Alan Sorkin? Aaron. No. Aaron Sorkin.
Aaron
Thank
Sorkin.
You. Muggs came up with it. Aaron Sorkin has written a lot of stuff. He's written West Wing and Newsroom and Studio 60 on Sunset Strip and Social Network. He's written a ton of stuff. And this is pointing out that maybe some of the lines have been reused through the years in some of these projects.
I have an hour of prime time every night, and I will rededicate my life to ruining yours.
I will rededicate the rest of my life to ruining the rest of yours.
There's no script. There's nothing on the prompter.
Nothing on the prompter is where this man eats.
Up there is where this president eats.
So it keeps going and keeps going, and you go, wow, it is unbelievable.
That's
how many times
fascinating
stuff gets reused, but at the time, I don't think anyone notices. Or
no,
I never
I
have.
Wouldn't.
This is Ice Cube on stage about a week ago at the Greek Theater. Ice Cube. It was just announced that Dwight Howard was leaving the Lakers and was going to Houston. And Ice Cube, a lifelong Laker fan, is not thrilled with that and has a few words to say on stage.
We don't give a f*** about a Dwight Howard. Oh! We don't need no bitches on our team, homie. He don't deserve to go up on that goddamn wall.
Everybody's
did he
just
say
going
Dwight
crazy.
Coward?
He called him Dwight
he
Coward.
Did not.
That happened. The next thing you're going to hear is not auto-tuned, if you would believe the video.
Okay.
It's not auto. There's no auto-tune on it. You know the Rihanna song Stay?
Mm-hmm.
This is Emma Robinson, and she is doing it. And it, when you hear her voice, you'll go auto-tune, auto-tune, auto-tune. It's not.
Not really sure how to feel about it. Something in the way you move makes me feel like I can't live without you. Yeah, it takes me all the way. I want you to stay.
She does that naturally.
Great.
What's up with that? Stop doing that. Here's a commercial jingle medley, 1 minute mashup. Here's a guy on YouTube who said, everybody that wants me to do this song, send me what jingle you want me to put in it. And I'll do a full minute of just all jingles.
Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. Give me a break, give me a break. Break me off a piece of that juicy fruit. It's gonna move ya. I'm a big kid now.
He goes for a minute. So people have a lot of time. Grown Ups 2 is coming out, so Honest Trailers has decided to take this opportunity to take a look back at Grown Ups.
Prepare to give up your own hard-earned money to pay for these rich actors to go on vacation with their families. Seriously, this movie cost $80 million, and they shot it at a lake. It's lowest common denominator comedy at its laziest, substituting plot, wit, and character with guys getting hit in the face.
by the way, which is always funnier. Sorry. Brand new internet roundup at kevinandbean.com. This is DJ Earworm. He does these kind of projects a lot. This is Summer Mash 13. So it's basically all of the hit songs from the summer of this year or up, you know, recently. And it's unbelievable. You watch the whole thing and you go, how does any single person mix all of those songs together? And we go back. Amazing, and
that's
it's not
fantastic.
It's not just the music; it's the music videos. So you can you watch it as well. The next one I didn't really want to include, but Dave, the King of Mexico, insisted. This is "Bad Boy," and it's a tribute to me.
Oh, I've
remember
yes,
seeing this yesterday?
I saw this. Yes, this is fantastic.
This guy wrote the gayest song ever.
He seems obsessed with Kevin.
For some reason, it's
he
all
loves you.
It's all pictures of me that I've taken with, you know, around with this job.
Yeah.
And the music is about bad boys and bad and how I'm a bad boy.
If you see nothing else, see this video.
It's not something I really want out there, but here's how it goes.
Good boys, bend at the knee, but bad boys, bend at the waist.
I don't know why he used all photos of me. It makes me uncomfortable.
You're a bad boy, Kevin.
Bad boys bend at the knees, but good boys bend at the waist. Come on. How are you going to do me like that?
Do some
so
more.
To speak. Go to kevinandbean.com and check out a brand new internet roundup.
Kevin and Bean, later roundup.
On.
All right.
Don't you worry, we'll all float on.
All right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 7 o'clock. Anthony Ferrante is in the studio with us. Hi, Anthony. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. It's an honor.
And who's he, Kevin?
He is the director of a little movie we like to call Sharknado.
Sharknado, everybody. Woo! Sharknado, the story of a group of sharks who get together to form a political group called NATO, and they start working on world problems.
No, it's not
that
so much as it is a tornado of sharks.
Oh, Sharknado with
yes,
a D.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
It's a tornado.
Yes.
That goes over the ocean and
right.
sucks up a lot of sharks and then moves inland and then starts dumping sharks on land.
In Los Angeles, right?
Yeah,
is that
and,
where it's
yeah and it starts destroying Los Angeles, basically.
Now, if
what a genius idea.
Here's my thought, though. My first thought is if a shark lands on the land, I could freaking taunt it. It can't move.
Yeah, but if it flies out of the sky and comes and lops off your arm, you know, it's done its job.
Then that's bad.
What if you're standing under a shark as it comes plummeting to Earth?
But then that's bad as well.
You shoot at it. Like,
but I would think at some point I could
really
look up.
A really angry, frightened shark who wants nothing more than just to eat you to make himself feel better. You're comfort food for him at that point.
Anthony, how was this pitched to you? How did you find out about the movie? How did you get interested? Did you write it?
No. It was basically, I think the thing had been floating around a little while and, you know, the production company and sci-fi have done stuff with them before and I've done a lot of horror films.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, you know, I'm kind of the horror guy, and I really wanted to do something that was a little more fun, a little more action, visual effects, and then he gave me this opportunity. I mean, Sharknado, a lot of people didn't want to do this because they said this was an impossible script to do, and I'm like, no, this is going to be cool. Let's just do it. And, of course, we made it even more insane as we went along, like, okay, let's destroy the Santa Monica Pier because it's in the poster, because it wasn't in the original script. And I said, sure, let's have the Ferris wheel roll down and kill some. I mean, it was a blast.
That's awesome.
Now, it starts with the hurricane over the Gulf of Mexico, or where does it start? Where does it pick up all the sharks?
Yeah, it picks up the sharks off the coast of Mexico and then starts depositing them in Los Angeles. And it's a slow build as the sharks start destroying the pier and popping up out of sewers and, you know, flooding waters in the streets of Los Angeles. And then you get the full-blown Sharknado.
Now, it airs tonight on Sci-Fi, for those of you who haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet. But I have to think that being the title alone, plus the fact it's on Sci-Fi, which is have a great track record with these sort of fun B movies, there is a sense of humor about this project, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, of course. I mean, here's the thing: is my philosophy in all the films I've done and anything I do, I think that humor comes from the character and the situations, not trying to do jokes or doing jokey things. And
right.
if you have all this crazy stuff, then you want to ground the actors and the situations as much as possible, so you can find those moments. And
sure.
And within that, we had people like Ian Ziering and John Hurt and Jason Simmons and Tara Reid, but everybody just kind of threw little bits in there, but it came from that experience.
It's not based on jokes. You don't have joke.
No, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, there's a couple little one-liners and stuff like that, but I mean, the situation, you want to keep it, these people have to do something, and they got to deal with this outrageous situation. When you have Ian Ziering shooting sharks, you don't need him saying one-liners. I mean, it just says it all.
It's true.
I'm thinking the more seriously you play a tornado filled with sharks, probably the funnier it gets, I would think.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and also, this is a movie I'm very proud of. There are no military or scientists in this film. We just accept the fact that the hurricane goes through and destroys Los Angeles. You don't have anybody going, oh, we've got to do this or this or this.
Right.
It's just you've got these
FEMA doesn't show up and
FEMA
try to
show
help
up.
Anybody. Or
nobody
anything.
Thinks to call for help.
Nope.
There are sharks falling from the sky.
What kind of help are you going to get? What are you going to do?
Have a jet shoot them out before they shoot them out of the sky before they hit
the
something.
Cousteau Society come along and start throwing up nets. I mean, there's nothing you can do when sharks are falling from the sky.
Well, our heroes come up with the brilliant plan of dropping bombs in the tornado. Because it would dissipate.
That makes sense.
Of
sure,
course.
Blow up the tornado.
And they destroy half of Los Angeles in the process.
Well, that doesn't sound like such a good idea then. Sharknado is on Sci-Fi tonight. What time? 9 p.m.?
It's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. So it's depending on your cable
or satellite. Or
where it might be earlier.
If I have satellite, I can watch it twice though, right?
Exactly, which you will, won't
yeah,
you?
Which I will. So absolutely.
Yeah. 6 o'clock and then again at 9.
All right, we need to take a break. Anthony Ferrante is here. He is the director of maybe the best movie of all time.
Hey, as a star of Sharktopus, you know, I have a little dog
right.
in this fight.
This is the best movie about sharks
that aren't just half octopus.
Sure. Okay. That's
right.
Fine. We'll be right back. Anthony Ferrante is in the studio with us. He is the director of Sharknado.
Go, run away from the Sharknado. It's your greatest fo. Don't want to get eaten by Sharknado.
Did you write the lyrics to that?
Yeah, I wrote the song with a friend of mine, Robbie Rist.
Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch.
Cousin
it's
Oliver.
It's your greatest fo.
Is what
with
you said. Sharknado.
Yep.
Now, so a tornado picks up sharks and then deposits them on Los Angeles. So you have to try, and it has to be pretty bad weather conditions, and it hasn't. How do you get that in Los Angeles? Is it all special effects?
When it's 72 and sunny every day, how do you shoot a tornado sequence?
Well, we figured we would be shooting in January. Oh, we would have rain, and
sure.
Of course, Los Angeles being Los Angeles, I think we've had 4 official rain days since the time we shot. So, I mean, you know, we have rain towers for, like, the close-up shots and all that stuff.
Rain towers meaning you can just drop water on people.
Yeah, okay. You know, you got a little car and, you know, you lock it off, sprinkle them off. And then, of course, you know, the driving through the rain, we were having the worst time getting those shots, you know, with the wide streets and stuff in Los
Angeles.
How
many days did you have to shoot?
We had 18 days.
18 days. So basically,
how long is this feature film?
It's 90 minutes. Yeah.
You got to shoot a 90-minute film in 18 days.
Yeah, I defy anybody else to try to do that. This
I
kind of movie.
Too. Tremendous. Wow. No wonder Asylum loves you. You're able to turn around that kind of film in 18 days.
So
that's
every single day you're watching the news the night before for the weather and you're trying to figure out like when it's going to rain because you got a lot of rain shots?
Well, no, we didn't worry about it during production because we realized, okay, we got what we got. And then we figured if we didn't get it, we could go and do like, you know, the pickup shot of a car driving in the rain. Of course, there was no rain. There is rain today in Los Angeles, the day
some.
Sharknado is airing.
That's true.
You should be out there filming now and then just do one last edit before they air it.
I just texted my DP. I'm going, let's go do this right now. Pickup day right now. We'll get that shot we always wanted. But
did you chase the rain? I mean, did that
end up
happening?
We was like in Twister. We were like our line producer going, there's rain in Pasadena. And we're like driving over to Pasadena in a car with my DP. And it's like we get there and we're sitting in a parking lot at Del Taco. And it's like, there's no rain. But it's in Burbank. Okay, let's drive around. So we drove to Burbank and we actually found like a little pocket
you
for like 20 minutes.
And that was like manna from heaven. That must have been the greatest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. No, weather,
chasing rain here.
Weather taunted us. There was one thing. We were shooting on the roof of this parking lot during that day, and there was this big flooded parking lot right below us. And so we were waiting to get this other shot we were doing, and we were turned around to go get it. And some idiot had unplugged the flooding. So, so we had this perfect shot. It wouldn't need any digital effects. And, of course, you know.
And that's how it works.
Curse you, rain. Curse you, Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, you had to know going in that was going to be a difficult problem.
Oh,
in
yeah.
Los Angeles.
Of course. Well, making any of these movies, you know, you have to roll with the punches, and you got to try to find creative ways of doing things. I mean, I had this bizarre idea of we had this scene in the living room that a shark burst through the living room because of the pool overflow.
Of course.
And so I said, why don't we can't go to a stage. Why don't we just build like a little mini set in a swimming pool and flood it? And they let me do that.
Wow. No kidding.
And it was awesome. It was like this little tiny set, and we put a shark in there. We filled it with blood, and it was a little Van Nuys swimming pool, like a public pool.
I got to tell you, this sounds a little bit like a high school film project.
It is, but with a lot of money to play with and a lot of toys.
I don't mean the quality of it. I just mean the making of it.
You have to be inventive when you're on a limited budget, right? Limited time, limited budget. You have to use your imagination.
Yeah, there were so many days where it was like, okay, well, because of the weather or because you can't see this, it's like, okay, you have this angle and that angle. And it's like, make magic. And, you know, we had a great production company and a great crew and everybody really banding together and some people I'd worked with before. You know, I brought a lot of people back that I'd worked on my last film. And when you have those kind of people that care, that's how these movies get made. And I think that's why this movie turned out so cool.
Why did you end up in the ocean off of Santa Monica? What happened with that? Not the movie production, but you yourself.
We were shooting out on the beach for a shark attack, and you know, we had one day out there, and we had this Hydroflex camera where we had the red camera. We put it in this casing called a Hydroflex so it could get in the water. And we had walkies, and I was trying to communicate with the operators, and it just wasn't working, and we were running out of daylight. So basically, I just jumped into the freezing cold waters without a scuba suit, and then we got all our shots, and it was actually a blast. I mean, you're like a kid. It's like toys.
So
like,
you're literally just floating in the water, giving direction?
Yeah, just went out there and shoot it
yourself. Right?
No, I didn't shoot it, but and at a certain point, we couldn't find an actor, so I basically got eaten by somebody. I just took off my shirt and said, "Okay, just all go underwater."
We couldn't find an actor.
Well, no, they were further out there. They were further because the camera was so heavy, we couldn't get too close to them. And we were running out of daylight and said, okay, I'll just go underwater here.
Just shoot me.
I was freezing.
I have to look for you.
Ian Ziering, Tara Reid, the great John Hurd. He must have been a blast to work with. He's one of my favorite character actors.
John Hurd is a blast and really funny. You know, one of the things that, you know, because there's a lot of driving around in Los Angeles and people going, oh, we got to stop this hurricane. There's one sequence in a bar where we get to introduce our characters. And we spent a lot of time working with all the four of the actors there trying to create sort of this kind of familiarity. And John Hurd was just great. He was throwing off extra little one-liners and stuff. And whenever I needed an extra thing, he had it.
He has that great sense of humor that just kind of gets it and plays along with it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And I loved his films, and it was just like when they said, "Oh, he's in the movie," I was like, "Oh man, this is going to be awesome!" And it was just a blast. I had this idea that because they all get weapons in the bar when the storm hits the pier,
sure.
That you know he's a barfly, and it's like I wanted him to take his stool as a weapon. So he took this bar stool, and this bar stool was heavy. I don't know why we had this heavy bar stool. And John Hurd, the man, this guy ran down that pier like three or four times with this thing over his head and
really?
Never complained once.
No kidding. He's not like, don't you know what I've done, who I
no.
am?
No. It was like, he's just like, okay, I'll do it. And it was great. And Ian Ziering, we were doing this thing, we're rappelling down the 6th Street Bridge, and he's seeing the stunt guy doing it. He's going, I want to do that. It's like, you really want to do that? You trust us. You want to do that? It's like, yeah, I want to do it. It's like, cool. And so you see him doing it. And it's
willing
like,
to risk his life for a film called Sharknado. That's an actor right there.
I would want to do that as well, but not on the fly. You know what I mean? Like, I would want to take some time and make sure it's all safe, and if we're going to rush it, go ahead and have your stunt guy do it.
That's why you're not in Sharknado.
Yeah,
man.
Well, that's probably
we had a great stunt team, so, I mean, it worked out.
Well, it sounds fantastic. I can't wait. Sharknado is on tonight on Sci-Fi. Check it out, and we have had Anthony Ferrante in. Should we play the theme one more time to get
people?
Well,
I just want to know, is there a sequel already in the works? I mean, is something this successful? Sharkacane?
I'm sure. I think someone else here mentioned Sharkferno.
Sharkferno, sure.
Which,
sure.
Yeah,
sharks
I'm
jumping
sure
out of flames, which sounds, again, impossible,
love it.
But maybe
love it
can happen.
I'm sure that this will be, we'll spawn sequels. And by the way, the producers of At the Asylum have offered you a actually a part in their next shark movie.
Well, it's about
Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark. So
Mecha Shark versus Mecha Shark.
Yeah. So
so it's a mechanical shark versus a giant shark.
I believe so. So you were.
Well, I like to think I'm the first name when you think of bad science fiction shark movies. That I'm the guy to come to. I will have to talk to them about that.
Is Sharknado going to be on your headstone when you pass? Is this what you're going to be known for?
Probably. and I embrace. We call it embracing the NATO. I've embraced it. Go, 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 go.
Run away from the Sharknado. It's your greatest fo-fo-fo. Don't want to get eaten by Sharknado.
Thank you for coming in, Anthony. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. It was a blast.
Coming up just after the top of the hour, comedian Kumail Nanjiani. Who's very funny. He's got a stand-up on Comedy Central coming up, so we're going to talk to him about that. Right now it's time for another look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
Then in the 9 o'clock hour, my buddy and partner from Hollywood Babylon, Kevin Smith, will be here. And that's when we'll be giving away our Comic-Con tickets.
You're going to have to stump Ralph and Kevin, though.
Yeah. Good luck.
We don't have any tickets,
right?
Two
geeks.
We're just pretending.
Two geeks. Well, maybe we'll throw a couple questions and maybe I'll give you a bone, but... Kevin's going to come in, and Kevin, of course, we're doing Babylon, Hollywood Babylon, our show where we take on Hollywood down there at Comic-Con at the House of Blues next weekend. And this weekend, tomorrow night, in fact, at 10 p.m., we're doing it at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose. So go to improv.com to get your tickets for that show.
It's good that you're doing it next week because you have a lot of time during those Comic-Cons.
I've tried to do...
I've never seen Ralph work harder in my life.
Take my foot off the pedal a little bit when it comes to Comic-Con. I do have some... I got Dexter, the Dexter panel we're
doing.
Hey,
Ralph, I got to go to Dexter.
Thursday night.
Hey, Ralph, want to have dinner? I got to go to that.
I got all the films from Sony Pictures. I'll be doing all those panels. But other than that, it's just that we're broadcasting from there Thursday and Friday morning. So I think I'll actually squeeze in a little time to enjoy myself this year. Looking forward to that.
Doubt it.
Since we're talking about Comic-Con, I did mention last hour that Vin Diesel was in talks with Marvel to appear in one of their films. Rumor has it that he may be Ant-Man or Giant-Man. However, sources that I contacted me said, in fact, he may be in talks to star as Thanos.
Oh, not Thanos.
You know.
I don't.
Thanos.
I don't know Thanos.
You know Thanos.
But I don't.
Who was the bad guy at the end of Avengers? Thanos, good to meet you. Hi, how are you?
All right, I didn't know
or
that.
The Vision. He would be a great Vision, actually, because Vision is a robot. He's an android. And what better actor to play someone without any sort of emotions or feelings than Vin Diesel? So
obviously.
There's opportunities abound there. While we're talking about new movies, Jeff Daniels has confirmed that the Dumb and Dumber sequel is, in fact, going to happen.
It is.
It's going to happen.
Because this has been on again, off again for a long time.
Yeah, Warner Brothers, the original studio, went into production with it, then passed on it. Then Universal reportedly stepped in to produce. And now Jeff Daniels has told Jimmy Fallon that, he said, I'll believe it's happening when I'm actually there staring at Jim Carrey. He said, but it looks like we're starting in September, he said. So they are on track to do Dumber and Dumber 2. T-O, Dumber and Dumber 2.
Don't you get the idea, maybe it's just me, that they got lucky the first time that it wasn't a complete disaster?
We were having this conversation in the other room, and I said, I think that movie's sort of lightning in a bottle.
Yes.
It's sort of a miracle.
So recreating that might really fail.
They got
That's
their
tough.
Work cut out for them, I'll tell you. But Jeff Daniels says, we've seen the script, it's hysterical, we're middle-aged, we're not pretending we aren't, we're middle-aged, and we're still that stupid.
All right.
I also think there's something sort of funny about stupid young guys, but that older stupid guys is not quite as funny.
I don't know. Stupid of all ages for me.
That's true.
Those are my peeps.
Look at your career. People seem to love it no matter what age you are, so I could be wrong. Justin Bieber, pop scrotum Justin Bieber, still in the news after that video surfaced this week of him peeing in a bucket.
Excellent!
In the restaurant kitchen. Of a nightclub he was at.
That's not good.
It's not just a bucket. It's a guy. It's the bucket the janitor has to use in order to swab up the floors of
the janitor that's making minimum wage.
Right, just making $5 an hour maybe. And now he's got to dump out that water and he's got to deal with that stuff. And then as he was walking down the hallway, there was a framed photo of Bill Clinton on the wall. And Bieber picks up some kitchen cleaning product and starts spraying it all over the picture saying, F Bill Clinton.
What?
He's just being a dick. It was a picture of anyone. It could have been a picture of his mom. He would have sprayed something on
asshole.
So
he doesn't hate Bill Clinton. He just hated whoever happened to be there because he was just acting out.
Yeah. So apparently he got in touch with Clinton, according to his Twitter feed. Thanks for taking the time to talk, Mr. President. He tweeted, "Your words meant a lot." But those words were F and U.
I bet he never talked to him.
Great guy, he said.
Why would Clinton talk to Bieber? Honestly, if that phone call came in...
He's got some time in his hands.
I know he does. He's got nothing but time. But for Bieber?
Maybe he's looking for backstage passes so he can hook up with some of Bieber's groupies. I don't know. He also tweeted, "In life, you will make mistakes, and people will try and tear you down, but you got to stay positive," Bieber said.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's us. We're tearing him down.
It's our fault.
What? How dare we? How dare we take umbrage against the fact that he is peeing in buckets and cursing at our president, former president. "Stay strong, learn to be better, and always live to serve others and the Lord," he tweeted.
What a dumb douchebag.
Well, it's in the Bible. The Lord saith, "Thou shalt pee in a bucket." It's Corinthians. Today's celebrity birthdays: Michael Rosenbaum. He was Lex Luthor on Smallville, 41 years old. Today, Justin Chambers, very talented actor, is 43. John Henson, host of Wipeout. He loves those big balls, Henson.
Boy, talks about them all the time.
He loves some big balls. 46 years old. Greg Grunberg is 47. Scott Schreiner of Weezer is 48. Lisa Rinna. Look at those lips.
Yep.
She's 50 years old. Suzanne Vega is 54. Richie Zambora of Bon Jovi is 54 as well. Peter Murphy of Bauhaus is 56. Celia Ward is 57. And actress Mindy Sterling, very funny lady, is 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We welcome to the studios now Kumail Nanjiani. Woo! Did I say that name right?
First time, you didn't trip.
You really did.
I said it right?
Yeah, and so today I've been getting all these tweets that people are like, "Kevin doesn't know how to say your name."
Well...
But that was great.
Because he practiced all morning.
I have faltered a lot. I probably said it wrong 12 times already on the air.
What were some of the other fun wrong ones?
Well, Kumail.
Okay.
I said a lot.
Yeah.
Nanjiani, I don't think I ever got right.
It's Italian. You know, it sounds Italian. Nanjiani. So it's easy.
It's not
Italian.
That does
make it easy
to say
that.
It's not Italian.
But it could be.
I saw your special. It's not Italian. Kumail is in the studio. The first time I saw you or heard about you was on the Jeselnik Offensive.
Oh, yeah.
And then he did defending your tweets, and I was like, I'm going to follow that guy. He seems funny. And I was so happy that that this opportunity came up. Now, what's your special called?
It's called Beta Male.
Beta Male.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Like alpha male, but the opposite.
The opposite of the alpha male.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is, a lot of your comedy comes from where you're from. Tell people where you're from.
I'm from Karachi, Pakistan, which is really far away.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
It is far away.
Yeah. It's a suburb of Mordor.
And is it a high class joint where you come from?
Well, I
Karachi?
Mean, there's all different kinds of places, you know? I mean, it's sort of, I would say Karachi's a lot like New York. So there's parts of Karachi you don't want to go in. At certain times,
right.
but it's also a lot of it's just, you know, like
just
like a
normal city.
Like a dirty, crowded city. Yeah, like New York.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Smell like pee?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's just like New York
totally
then.
Like
yeah,
that.
But we don't hydrate as well, so it's like really like coffee smell.
Concentrate.
Well, instead of coffee smell, it's more like a tea smell. You
right.
Know?
It's a coffee pee mix.
Yeah.
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 Tell me, when did you come to the United States?
97. I came and I went to Iowa. Now, here's, when you grow up in Karachi, you only see the America that's in movies. So it's all New York or L.A.?
Right.
You don't see Iowa.
I saw that on your bio, and I thought, how does a guy go from Pakistan to Iowa?
Was it your parents? You came with them, or you went
to
school?
No, I came on my own. I just picked a school, and I landed, and I saw the fields. I was like, this is not as advertised. Right? There's nobody in bikinis. I knew Baywatch.
Right.
I knew, like, you know, Ghostbusters movies in New York.
Sure.
Iowa doesn't show up often.
No, it's not really in the movies a lot. How did you pick Iowa, though? What was your...
Well, I mean, I thought it was all the same, so I just picked like a bunch of random like schools,
and
I came here for college.
Come here.
That was the best one I got into, and I went there.
What was the name of it?
It was called Grinnell College. It's this really small town of 9,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should make up a different college. No one will check it.
Cornell.
Yes, nobody will. Nobody does, nobody does a background check. You may have said Cornell. I'm not sure about that. But a lot of your comedy comes from things that happened to you when you were a kid. Like, explain, I don't want you to give away the whole thing, but explain to people the happy birthday song. Because I found that really, really bizarre.
Oh, yeah. We went to this birthday, and they were playing like a knockoff Pakistani version of the birthday song, and it went, happy birthday. Thank you very much. But over and over, just those two lines.
Why thank you very much? I don't understand that.
I don't know. Well, I it sounds like it would be a duet with
two
people.
Oh, it's a two-parter where the person whose birthday it is says thank you very much?
Nope, it was one voice. So it's one person wishing himself a happy birthday.
And then thanking himself.
And then thanking himself as if he's forgotten every time. Like, I'm going to just go kill everybody now. So that was playing over and over. But what was weird at that birthday, they decided, like, usually there's a monkey show that happens at Pakistani birthdays.
Really?
I like you're nodding your head as if you're like, oh, yeah,
okay,
that tracks.
Monkey show? Good.
That makes sense.
No, but
you mean real monkeys?
Yeah, no. Yeah, real monkeys. We don't have guys in monkey outfits.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
Real awesome monkeys doing awesome human stuff.
Wow.
That makes a party. If you have a monkey, you have a party.
Oh, my God. It's a great show. It, like, a monkey rides a bike, and he has a hat, and he doffs his hat at ladies. I'm sure he was taught to do that through a lot of violence, you know?
The training probably
it's
wasn't
not good
kind.
For the monkey.
Yeah, you can't just talk a monkey into doing that. You have to hit it if he doesn't do it. But what you saw was awesome.
Because you're a kid. You don't know the violence that went into it.
No.
You're a kid.
And now as a grown-up knowing it, I'm like, kind of worth it. Because it is a great show.
What did the monkey do? It would just walk a certain way?
It would
tip its hat?
Tip its hat. It would, like, sort of strut around, like its hands behind its back.
Did it do any tricks? Did it do a cartwheel or jump up and down? Or
I mean, it's a monkey.
A basketball?
What do you want from a monkey?
I don't know. I'm just asking what it did.
It would have a toy rifle, and it would, like, march around like a soldier. Shoot Indian monkeys, you know?
That sounds like the best birthday parties ever.
It was great. But this particular one, they didn't have that. They had a snake and a mongoose fighting.
And a mongoose?
Well, as a kid, we were like, oh, this is going to be the best birthday party we've ever been to.
How old would you say you were?
I was probably around 10.
Okay, so they said instead of the monkey this time.
Yeah, this guy shows up. The happy birthday song stops.
Right.
And he pulls out a snake and he pulls out a mongoose and he's like, these two are going to fight. And we're like, yes, they are. They
this
are
is
going to
child's
fight.
Child's birthday yes. party.
Well, we thought it was like Street Fighter or something, you know, like we're going to see some Hadoukens and they're going to have three rounds, the weed cake.
They'll pick a winner based on points.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a technical knockout he wins. And then they hang out and, you know, have cake together.
So you're excited.
Yeah, I thought it was like WWF, you know, like wrestling. So we get in a circle. By the way, there is no fence between us and the combatants, you know, so.
Good idea.
Whatever wins is coming for us next.
Right.
Wow. Full of confidence.
The fight starts, and we find out very quickly that the Cobra is going to lose.
To the Mongoose.
Yeah, and the fight lasts 15 minutes. As honestly, we see this Cobra, like, slowly just get decimated. The beginning, we're all cheering. The last 10 minutes, we all just stand silently and just watch, like, mayhem and massacre ensue.
What? Turned
and then
into
like,
the
time for cake.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We just have like uneaten birthday cake in our hands. We're like, I don't know. Even the
so
grown-ups
sad.
Are walking around like we've made a huge mistake. This is a
how
bad
far
idea.
Into it would you say you started to wonder like is this going south,
dude? Right away. Because in the beginning they're just staring at each other. You're like, all right, they're sizing each other up, and the mongoose like bit the snake once, and everyone was like, oh, okay, this is going to be much more violent than we had anticipated.
Oh, man.
And there was literally...
But you're 10, like, you can't, like, say anything, right?
No, you think you're cool, you know? You're like, oh, yeah, I can handle this. And you just watch all the kids with, like, the rubber band from the birthday hats cutting into your throat, you know? Uneaten birthday cake. You're like, oh, God, my soul's disappearing, I think.
Losing parts of my soul, and I'm only 10.
Yeah. And then at the end, mongoose rips the snake's whole head off.
Oh my God.
Which I was like, if you had that move, that should have been move number one. Why are you waiting so long? Our souls are shrinking.
This the special airs a week from Saturday, July 20th at midnight on Comedy Central. So set your DVRs. It is very, very funny. Kumail Nanjiani is here, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Kumail Nanjiani. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And you're watching Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
They're not watching.
Listening.
There you go.
Well done, boys.
We do good work. Kumail has a TV special called Beta Male that's going to be on Comedy Central. It is a week from Saturday night, I want to say, July 20th.
That's correct.
At midnight. You got the plum midnight spot.
Midnight on Saturdays, you know, when all the kids are at home watching comedy. That's the thing. It's going to be all like the nerdy kids.
Well, yes.
Which is great because that's what I was.
You were a nerdy kid?
Yeah, I wasn't like, you know.
You weren't hip and cool?
I was not hip. I wasn't getting invited to parties.
Did you lie to people in Pakistan about where you were going to college? Like when you got here, did you go, this is Iowa. I need to change the story some.
Oh, they, to them, it's all the same.
It's all United States.
Oh, they're like, oh yeah, Iowa, where they have all the buildings. And, yeah, traffic. I didn't tell them it was corn and pigs, you know.
Of course not.
We don't like pigs.
All right, I can see that.
Yeah.
Now, you had some questions about...
Okay, Sharknado.
What's the problem with Sharknado?
Problem.
Okay.
I didn't say problem.
Right.
I have a because it says Sharknado. Enough said. That's, I don't know if that covers it. I have a couple issues.
Their slogan is enough said.
Yep. Here's the thing.
Okay.
So sharks can't survive. I don't know if you guys covered this. They can't survive outside of water.
Right.
So if they're in a tornado in the air.
But it started as a hurricane.
But the,
which means there could be moisture and water over the ocean.
Okay, but when they get to land,
yes.
If they land. They're dead.
Well, that's what I was saying.
So
is,
unless you're right under the shark, that's...
Well, they don't die instantly, you know. And I think there's flooding.
But they're like... if they're not instantly dead, they're dying. They're not...
If
like,
they're as close as me to you and they hit the ground, I would the shark would never get you. You could taunt it.
But you see sharks on boats when they pull them up. You got to stand out of the way because they're flopping and they're biting.
Okay, they could flop a couple times, but I'm with Kumail. I mean, that's what I asked, and they said, yeah, but what if it falls on you? That was his answer.
So it could just be a truck. It could be Trucknado. Because if it's just falling on you.
But it's not as funny as a shark falling on you.
No, it's not.
It's much funnier.
Listen, if there's a Sharknado happening, I don't want to be there. But I'm saying.
But you're saying it's probably not as scary as it sounds.
I probably have a shot. You know, it's not like if it's a shark in water, then
right.
I'm definitely dead.
Then you don't have any shot at all, unless you poke it in the eyes or something. They say,
punch it. Its nose.
They say punch its nose. That
I'm
seems...
not going to do that. The nose is right next to the teeth.
Right. And if the teeth are around you, you lose.
Oh,
already.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no punching and getting
out. And
you
know, out. I always wonder about that. Underwater, you're not punching fast.
No, that's true.
You know?
That's a
the
slow
other
punch.
Thing.
But he's also not putting up a defense, so it's all right. You don't have to punch fast.
Yeah, it doesn't have dukes to put up. I don't think I could knock out a guy in a bar fight. I don't think I'm knocking out a shark underwater.
Well, you're not supposed to knock it out. I think it just annoys it so that it releases its bite on you, I think.
Oh, is that what it is?
I'm not an expert.
Okay.
You will find that out. I'm an expert in nothing.
Shark experts are dead, I think.
Are they?
I don't think they survived.
Have you ever watched Shark Week? You ever seen that?
I've seen stuff,
because
yeah.
there's a new Shark Week coming on pretty soon on Discovery, and it's the best.
Yeah. Well, to keep every year, there's like new stuff about sharks.
Yes.
Are we finding out new stuff?
Well, they say we are, yeah. But basically, it's just them just poking them with a stick every year.
Yeah.
And then say,
like, oh, turns out they're good at math. They're just making up stuff now. They really like Despicable Me 2, turns out. Big fans.
No, but what they do is they add maybe four shows, and then they show all of the ones from the past.
Oh, okay.
So it's like round-the-clock shark.
Plus, there's new shark attacks every year.
That's true. That's always fun. And then
so
you
they
get
have that
the story. Guy with one arm or the girl with one arm, and then they tell the story.
Those guys are always... I bet they're telling their stories a lot.
I bet they are
like
as well.
Like at parties, like, oh, okay, you were late to work. My hand got bitten off by a shark.
Right. You win every argument.
Yeah. Still haven't topped that story.
And how did they get out? Punch it in the nose.
Punch it in the nose.
That's the secret.
With the remaining arm. I also... You guys... What did Justin Bieber do? What did he do?
Justin Bieber is a douchebag, first of all. Does that translate well to Pakistani?
Oh, yeah. We have douchebags.
His English seems good.
It is fine.
Yeah.
He was... Well, first of all, he took a picture with the Stanley Cup, which was bad. The Chicago Blackhawks. So then he's doing a show, and as he's walking out, he walks through a kitchen, and he pees in the bucket that the janitor has to, you know, mop up.
I was telling your friend outside, like, this is all going to seem so insignificant once he murders his first prostitute.
Oh,
you know?
That couldn't come soon enough.
Because then we'll be like, oh, remember when we thought him peeing in the kitchen was bad? That was a walk in the park compared to. Because that is
that's
going to happen.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, too. He also sprayed some kind of spray on a picture of President Clinton and started cursing him out. And he's from Canada. So, and I don't understand.
Can you imagine if he wasn't American, how much worse it would be?
Oh, God, it would be a disaster.
We managed to take a Canadian and turn him into that.
Oh, that's I see what you're saying.
Yeah, they're so nice over there.
That's a good point.
You know, pat ourselves on the back. We took a nice Canadian and we made him Justin Bieber.
We ruined him.
Yeah.
Now, what was it like, not to turn things all serious, but you got to the United States in 1998, did you say?
97, yeah.
97. So after the World Trade Center, was life fun for you?
No. It was intense for a little bit.
What was it like? Because you just came over 4 years earlier from Pakistan.
Yeah, and I would do stand-up. You know, I started doing stand-up right after that, which was not a great time to start.
That's bad timing.
And my whole strategy was, don't mention it at all. Pretend to be, you know, an Italian with a speech impediment. Like, oh, I just stood out in the sun too long. But people would yell stuff out. Like, people would be like, they would yell at me, they're like, terrorist. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I am a terrorist. They just do stand-up comedy on the side to keep a low profile. Yeah.
People would really yell at you.
Oh,
though?
Yeah. The terrorist camp is right next to the stand-up comedy camp. We have some really talented guys, you know.
As long as they don't get blown up.
Yeah,
they're going to make it big.
Yeah, really.
How long did that go on, or did it just taper off pretty quickly?
It actually was, you know what, it would happen every now and then, but it was not as bad as...
That's good.
I think a lot of it, people were just, people would go the other way and try and be extra nice.
Oh, I see. Maybe. Make sure that you didn't think they were bad.
Yeah, yeah, all right. You know what? Don't be in this building at this time. That's all I'll say. So they were, but mostly, you know, people were kind of cool about it.
What about when you flew?
Again, I think that they – what I would do
because I'm sizing you up. I'm if you get on the plane right after 2001, seriously.
Yeah, but
I'm
look
like,
at me.
I think I could take him.
Even if I was a guy who wanted to do that, I don't think I would graduate the terrorism right. school. I mean, look at me. There's guys clearly above me who are graduating.
There's the alpha males.
Yeah, I'm the beta male.
You're the beta male.
I'm just the guy who's doing the scheduling for him. I'm just, like, buying the airline tickets. But I have, like, a pierced ear that I got in college.
Yeah.
And I would, like, when I would travel, I would put my earring in to be like, hey, look, I'm cool, right? I'm like, you guys.
Did you really do that?
Yeah, I quote Ghostbusters and, yeah, I would put my earring in.
You think it worked?
Yeah.
As a defensive tactic?
I actually didn't get, like, pulled out for extra screening that
Oh,
much.
Wow.
For a long time, if you had the one earring, you were considered gay, though. Did you know that about America?
I did know that. But okay. I think it was the right ear was gay and the left ear was... See, but I should have had it just on the right ear, which is like, there's no gay Muslim terrorists, right. You know? I'm definitely clear.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't as bad as you would think, because that seems like that would be terrible.
Every now and then something would happen, but, you know, I never felt, like, physically threatened or anything. It was fine.
Kumail has a stand-up special that is on Comedy Central. It is a week from Saturday night, July 20th at 12 midnight. And then I guess you could buy the CD-DVD combo that comes out, what, 3 days after that?
Yeah, July 23rd. Buy it.
Buy it. Yeah. It's worth it. I've seen the whole thing. You talking about watching porn at your house was funny as hell.
Yeah.
Because they lose power all the time and he couldn't get the porn out of the DVR. I mean, the
VHS. Yeah.
Before the parents came home.
God.
So it is, it's a really good time. And Kumail is a very funny guy. So check it out. It is called Beta Male.
That's correct.
It's Comedy Central a week from Saturday night. And you're also shooting Hot Tub Time Machine 2?
Yeah, I'm doing that right now, going back and forth between New Orleans and L.A. doing that.
What a bizarre life you have.
It's going to be great. Hot Tub 2 is going to be really, really funny. And there's a lot of, like, crazy sci-fi time travel stuff in this one.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. And you're also going to – I'm sorry. You're also going to be on the Jeselnik Offensive Tuesday.
Yes, July 16th, I believe it
Kumail,
is.
Kumail, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks
we
for having me, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That is Fitz in the Tantrums, and it is 8:38. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin Smith coming up next hour, along with your chance to win tickets to Comic-Con. You're going to have to stump Kevin and Ralph, though, and that might be impossible.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Right now, we're talking about Justin Bieber. The big story for, I guess, a couple of days now is that he was leaving a concert and was peeing in a janitor's mop bucket.
Yeah, in the back of a restaurant.
And then defacing a picture of Bill Clinton on the wall. And then Justin Bieber tweeted that he had spoken with Bill Clinton and they were all good. And I'm not buying that.
Me neither. So how did that happen?
I thought we'd check in with Justin Bieber and just find out exactly what really happened.
Okay.
Justin, good morning.
What's with all the questions, yo?
I haven't asked any yet.
Come on, bro.
Just said good morning.
Try to be a little swaggy, all right, bro?
I don't know that I can pull off swaggy, Justin.
Oh, that's a shame, now, eh? Because I'm really swaggy, bro.
Why, so you said that you spoke to President Clinton?
Yeah, we cool, boy.
Did you talk on the phone?
Yeah, me and the Prez, we boys now.
Is that right?
We wild boys.
I don't think, I'm not positive he
wild
would consider himself a wild boy. We do have him on the other line, though. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk to
former
President Clinton. Hold on, Justin. If you're good friends with him and you had a good conversation with him, let's say good morning to former President Clinton.
Well, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Fine. Pleasure. Thanks for giving me a call.
Now, have you heard the story about Justin Bieber?
I did hear about Justin.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, I have had my own penis in some very disgusting places,
right.
But never as disgusting as a janitor's bucket.
Right. Well, I'm not sure it was in it, but...
But even near it.
Did you, in fact, talk to Justin Bieber? Because
I have not had the pleasure
really?
Of talking to Mr. Bieber.
Well,
no.
He tweeted that you had a good conversation and everything was good now.
Well, this may sound like a surprise to you, but not everything on Twitter is true.
What?
For example, I don't think Drake is ugly.
That's true.
I think he's an attractive fella.
But do you want to murder his vagina?
Do I want to murder Drake's vagina?
Question withdrawn. Justin, are you still on the phone?
Unfortunately, I am. Eh?
Now, the former president says he didn't talk to you.
Well, when I meant talk to him, I meant like spiritually, eh? Like we're all like swaggy brothers together. What's that all about?
I don't know. I don't even know what that means.
I don't even know what that means either. But I'll have you know this, that I think Justin and I have a lot in common.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I was leader of the free world.
Mm-hmm.
Managed 8 years of great prosperity in the United States, balanced the budget.
Right.
And Justin rhymed baby, baby, and baby.
That's true. That is true.
He's got that going for him.
Justin, any thoughts on that particular genius rhyme?
That's what I'm talking about, eh? So, like, the Prez knows we're, like, connected, eh?
I was being sarcastic. You dumb little asshole.
Just after the top of the hour, we were supposed to have actor, writer, director Kevin Smith.
Kevin's
what's happening?
Beautiful and sweet, sweet wife, mm-hmm. Jen, who I love dearly, informed me he left a little while ago.
So he'll be here around 9:30-ish?
Well, traffic's usually pretty light around this time of the morning, right?
Yeah, and today's been especially light.
Yeah, he'll just fly. He'll just fly there, I'm sure. No worries. I'm sure he'll roll in right on time.
Stoner. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Smith, you know I love him like a brother.
Yep.
He is a dear, dear friend of mine and a great collaborator, and we're partners together in the Hollywood Babylon show that we do.
But
time is not his...
Strong suit.
Being on time is not necessarily...
He has a lot of strengths.
He has
Don't
so
get us
many.
Wrong.
I mean, he is hard. He's almost bulletproof. But if he had an Achilles heel, if he had a kryptonite... I would say the clock would be one of them. So he will get here as soon as possible.
Would you say that has increased since he started smoking weed?
No, I don't think so at
all.
Really?
That was a
problem
before?
It's always been his way. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe when he's here, we can get him to talk about the tattoo that he got because he's always late. He's got actually a tattoo that celebrates the fact that he is always late.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, we're doing our show at the Hollywood Improv tomorrow night at 10 p.m., Hollywood Babylon. We're doing that. You can go to improv.com to get tickets for that. We're also doing a show down at Comic-Con at the House of Blues. You can go to csmod.com to get tickets if you're going to be down at Comic-Con. We're going to be down there next week broadcasting. Looking very forward to it. And since we're talking tickets, I also wanted to give away right now tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood. Summertime is the best time of the year, really, to go to Universal. It's just an awesome time up there. You go on the City Walk and you hang out and you go to see the studio tour. You can, of course, try two of the greatest rides you'll ever face, the Transformers Ride 3D and the King Kong 360 3D. So if you'd like to go right now, I'm going to give four winners a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067, Universal Studios Hollywood. It's one of my favorite places to go in the summer. I live right near there. So is Lisa. Come by and see us. Oh, yeah, I'll give you Lisa's address later. She likes people just to drop by. Well, despite what you may have just heard, Justin Bieber does claim that he talked to Bill Clinton.
Yeah, sure.
About what was going on.
Right.
He also said that he's just, in life people make mistakes, he tweeted. And people will try to tear you down, but you got to stay positive, he said.
That's not even an apology. It's not saying, you know what, I acted badly.
Right,
and
I feel crappy about it.
Right.
It's really hard to watch that video because I should be better. But people will try to tear you down. Like, as if we're all watching that video and we're just misconstruing it and twisting it into something that it isn't.
We should have had another reaction to it.
Right.
Which is, wow, he's...
Wow. He, maybe the janitor needed extra water, and so that's why he peed in the janitor's
bucket. The water
bucket.
Level was low.
That's right. He was actually helping him.
Look, don't be a douchebag, and then all we're doing is calling you on being a douchebag.
Right. We're not tearing you down. We're just reporting the news, basically.
Not making stuff up.
Stay strong and learn to be better, he tweeted, and always live to serve others and the Lord. He certainly was serving the Lord.
That's always been his message.
Yeah. He's all about the Lord. Comedy Central has announced their next roast. James Franco will be the target of the next roast.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I think there's some material there.
I see.
I hope Seth Rogen shows up.
Of course.
And some of his other friends. I'm sure they'll give him a hard time.
All other potheads.
No word yet on when the roast will take place or who will be on the panel to skewer him, but I'm looking forward to that. More casting news. Summer Glau. If you ever watched Firefly or Dollhouse or the Sarah Connor Chronicles. You have enjoyed her work, also on Alphas. Now she's just been picked up by CW's Arrow. She's joining the cast of that show. Very exciting. She's playing the VP of a company out to take over Queen Consolidated and its boss, Oliver Queen. More geek news. Vin Diesel in talks with Marvel to be cast in one of their upcoming films. A lot of speculation. Some have said Giant Man, a.k.a. Ant-Man. Some have said Thanos, the bad guy from the end of Avengers 1. Some have said the Vision. A member of the Avengers who's a feelingless robot.
Which is the one you
I
think...
I would vote for that one.
You think maybe he would fit in well there?
A robot doesn't act all that well. Is there a character like that? And let it happen! Sources are saying she's got a real shot staying clean and sober this time around.
So she must have actually, at some point along the way, she didn't want to go.
Right.
She must have, at some point along the way, actually changed her mind and sort of started taking it seriously.
Sometimes it's the facility. You know, if you really click with a therapist or the surroundings are particularly resonant with you, things can turn you around.
She tried out a few before she ended
She sure did. She shopped around. She found one that was right for her. Her team is saying that she's responding very, very well to her treatment. They would like her to stick around for an extra 30 days to really sort of cement what she's got going on. But she said she has to, desperately wants to, attend the premiere of The Canyons, that film she made with Paul Schrader.
Now, she's fully nude in that?
I believe so, yeah. There is a four-way nude sex scene, I believe, in that.
Okay.
With James Dean, of course, formerly seen with...
Farrah Abramson?
Backdoor teen mom, Farrah Abraham. You may want to wait till I say the name, Beer Mug, before you hit the button, but I appreciate your enthusiasm, as always. So
Farrah Abramson?
There we go. There. She says she's going to go to Venice and attend the premiere, but she promises she's going to go to her AANA meetings and work the 12 steps, and she's going to do what she needs to do. She'll just be doing it in Italy, where nobody drinks wine.
So that's good news.
No, nobody drinks there. Not a big wine country, Italy, for some reason.
I feel like alcohol addiction would be the hardest to beat. It's social.
I feel that also.
It's social. Everybody tries to give it to you. Yeah. Especially if you're famous, they buy you a drink.
Sure.
That kind of thing. It seems like it would be the hardest.
Every restaurant, every party, right. Every dinner you went to, people like, can I get your drink? Try this wine. It's great. Yeah. It goes with this wine.
That would be difficult.
Yeah. Lisa Edelstein. Remember her from House?
Sure.
Of course.
She's got a new gig. She's going to be guest starring in the upcoming season of Castle.
Mm.
All right. It's one of my favorite shows, one of my favorite actresses. That's a good mix right there. And Jeff Daniels has confirmed this week that it looks like the Dumb and Dumber 2 sequel to Dumb and Dumber will, in fact, finally get off the ground after many years of speculation and talk about the potential for another Dumb and Dumber movie. It looks like we're starting in September, he told Jimmy Fallon.
Huh.
So they may finally make that movie, and they may live to regret it.
I know. What do I know? I don't remember that one as fondly. I mean, it was sort of...
It just may not have a lot of places to go.
Right. It was a little funnier than I expected, but I'm not sure.
I think most of the story, the loose ends of that story have been tied up by the end of the film. I got the sense that really they had sort of found their resolution.
Yeah.
This is a dramatic arc.
This isn't Lost.
Of what those characters were experiencing.
Still have a lot of questions.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Rosenbaum. He played Lex Luthor, or Lex Luthor, on Smallville for many seasons. 41 years old today. Justin Chambers is 43 years old. TV host, my buddy John Henson, is 46. Greg Grunberg, 47 years old today. Scott Schreiner of Weezer is 48. Lisa Rinna turns 50 years old today. Suzanne Vega is 54. Richie Sambora of Bon Jovi fame, 54 years old. Peter Murphy, singer for Bauhaus, is 56. Celia Ward turns 57 years old. And actress Mindy Sterling, Frau Frobisina, you may remember her from the Austin Powers movies, 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 18 minutes after 9 o'clock, which is Kevin Smith's version of 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Nice. Welcome to my world.
I was just going to begin the interview so inappropriately by going, Ralph, can you itch my back? I have an itch on my shoulder, and I was like, we have a close enough relationship for me to actually left one. Otherwise, oh, perfect.
Right there?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Can we just touch on something? I was listening to the radio on my way.
I'd rather not touch on something after that. Yes, go ahead.
The Bieber pee-pee thing.
Yes.
Yes.
This is crazy, right?
The janitor's bucket, yeah.
Now, how old is this kid again?
19,
I think.
No, 19.
And there's footage of him, like, maybe not putting a drink to his mouth, but obviously being inebriated.
Yeah, he
isn't that enough
loaded.
To get arrested and then deported?
He does seem to party everywhere he goes on tour
illegal.
Through the United States, and at 19, you're not allowed to drink.
My kid's a teenager, and now I'm going to tell her, like, look, stay away from drugs and alcohol, but if you do it publicly and then urinate in a mop bucket
from
some poor guy who's got to scrub the floor later, who's got to dump that, because that's okay.
Yeah.
Everyone's watching this happen.
If you're
nobody's
a big star. No, I've never thought of that. I've never thought of, hey, how come he hasn't gotten caught for that?
You haven't thought of the fact that he's underage and drinking all these clubs?
I don't...
If you wanted to make an example of somebody, I mean, you know, everyone's always looking for like that...
That'd be sweet.
Easy collar. Everyone's like, yeah, go.
It's like getting Al Capone on Texas.
Bingo.
Bingo. Exactly.
Bingo.
That's good.
Oh, that was genius.
I like that.
In any event, that's all I had to say about that. I'm not all for like deporting people, but like I just feel like, yeah, it just seems like he's like, it's not a big crime. It's not like, you know, there's a dead person, but
no, but let's catch him at any little crime we can.
And this is a pretty big one. It's public. Like if you're a parent, I'm sure his mom is just like dying a thousand deaths, but underage drinking, that's an easy way to get him. I agree with Ralph.
I don't know. His mom gets a lot of money from him, I imagine. She's probably fine with everything that's going on.
And he defaced the picture of one of our presidents, for God's sakes.
Deport him.
Deport him.
But that was not, like, that wasn't as true, though. You can totally pull that out in court and be like, he went after the president.
How does this young boy feel about America? Well, I think it's obvious.
But I think that felt more to me like whatever picture was there was going to get
of course,
his drunken wrath.
Of course, but since it was President Clinton, we can use it like you're saying.
I agree. Against
twist
him.
It or however
good lawyer
we want to do
could
it.
We could death penalty.
About importing. I like it.
Did it feel like the moment from Fletch when Chevy Chase was like, you know Tommy Lasorda? Yeah. I hate Tommy Lasorda. He just punches the picture. what a strange case, though. But I you watch that. That might mushroom into something.
Oh, I like it. You know? I like it. He started something small.
Yeah, he's on mushrooms, too.
Yeah.
I heard that in.
Kevin Smith is here. He's going to be on Hollywood Babylon with Ralph Garman tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Hollywood Improv. And then
our new home at the Hollywood Improv.
And then next weekend, you guys are going to do it in San Diego.
Yeah,
the con show. Always a big show.
This is now, what, our third annual?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're becoming an institution. I saw some people got attacked on Twitter for carpet bagging onto Comic-Con and doing shows down there just because, hey, the audience was there. I might as well.
I think people know you better than that. You and Ralph.
We've been there forever.
Yeah.
So
we were watching shows down there before we were.
Yeah, me too.
And we will be this year. Are you looking forward to any trailers or anything?
There's
nothing on my horizon that I'm getting. Like, maybe I want to see some Spider-Man footage just because I want to see Giamatti as the Rhino. That looks amazing.
I'm hosting the Spidey 2 panel.
So you get to see the footage
first. Yeah, so I get to see the footage. I'm looking forward to it.
Remember how you just scratched my back?
Metaphor falls apart. I needed you to scratch yours twice.
Yeah, what a relationship! You scratch my back, and then you scratch.
And then
my
Kevin
back again.
Will do his own panel in evening with Kevin Smith again in the big Hall H on
Hall H
Saturday
on Saturday night.
Night.
Yeah, that'll.
How
be
many does that hold? That hall.
6,000
people.
I thought it was 4, but somebody told me last year it's 6,000.
And you fill it up every year.
I don't fill it. It's just filled because people come to Comic-Con and sit in that room to watch all the programming because that's where they run like the big Marvel stuff and the DC stuff.
Yeah.
The big panels go through there. So people just sit there the whole day long. and queue up outside, as the British
I was going to say, you have a long line outside for that hall, but they have to wait for someone to leave?
And then as soon as they're out, boom, they'll fill seats. So at the, I'm always the last one on Saturday night. This is what always does my heart good. Watch, it won't happen this year, and suddenly I'll be like, oh, no, my heart is dead. at the end of Saturday night, you've seen all the big shows. I close it out. So it's like, if you're not interested in me and my nonsense, that is the time you're for gone. The mass exodus and to get up. And every year, it's always still full.
Yeah.
As if like maybe they're sitting there going, no, there's got to be something better after this. Can't be the last. But I'm like, the fat lady singing, the show's over. This
I would like to appeal to the people that are there to stand up and start walking. Just for a second. Just
watch
to
me cry.
Out. Just to watch Kevin watch, Smith
watch
cry.
Watch suddenly like a then, puddle gather under my legs, like the little girl down. In The Exorcist. People like, he's so scared. Why? He's lost his power. All his fans are leaving.
There's I love psych. That show. And they all sit down again.
That is the my State of the Union show. That begins my geek calendar year.
It does. This is the beginning. This is your January 1st. This is how it all begins.
And this year we're going to show, I've got a trailer for this movie that I'm involved with. These people over at Phase 4, I did 2 years ago, we started doing this Smodcast Pictures Presents kind of a thing where we brought in smaller films and put them out on VOD under that label. We've changed the name of Smodcast Pictures Presents to Kevin Smith Movie Club because nobody knows what Smodcast is unless you're a podcaster.
Right.
We're into podcasting, but Kevin Smith a little more like, oh, that's that dude, plane problems. At least there's some identification.
That's not what you want.
A little bit, but I'll take it, anything, as long as they recognize
you
for
bucket,
something.
Man. They really get famous.
Totally. So when we changed it to Kevin Smith Movie Club, we found this movie that was playing at Slamdance last year. It is amazing. It is this film called The Dirties, and it found a way to humanize like a media a monster that we're all too accustomed to dealing with or reading about on a regular basis, the mass shooter.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful film that shows you how it happens. And what they do is they take the found footage genre, which we're all familiar with from, of course, Paranormal Activity, all the way back to Blair Witch and stuff. They found a way to use it within the film that is the freshest way I've seen found footage used. They're telling a story within a story, and the dudes are really big filmmaking buffs, and they're doing scenes within their movie and doing these intertitles, which are based on movie titles. So the whole time you're sitting there going, is this real? Is this, you're falling further and further down a rabbit hole. Insanely well-made movie that came out of Canada. And that, if anything, that's its only trip up. Is because you're like, no Canadian would ever go on a mass killing spree. This is ridiculous. And thank God that little piece of fiction's in there, because otherwise you're like, this is insanely chilling. This may be real footage. So we're going to show the trailer for that up at the Hall H panel. I'm working with, you know, that game Plants vs. Zombies you play on your iPad and stuff. Where they're doing Plants vs. Zombies 2, and there's a little Jay and Bob angle. So we're showing these cartoons at an Hall H.
Now, how do you get around at Comic-Con? Because if you were to walk...
I got one of those rascals. I strapped two rascals together, and I'm not ambulatory, Kevin. So as you can see, I'm ready to topple.
That was not a fat joke. That was a you'll get mobbed, and then they'll carry you on their shoulders. I don't know how you get around.
Fat stormtrooper. I costume up. If you see the heavy looking stormtrooper, that's usually me. Dead tip off if that stormtrooper is wearing a hockey jersey over the armor as well. But I tend not to walk the floor. Somebody told me recently that like Rosario came to the con. She just put on a mask and walked around. I was like, yeah, but you know, Rosario's got an amazing body, but not a distinct body like me, where if I just put on a mask, they'll like Kevin Smith wearing a mask.
Why is Kevin Smith wearing a mask?
However, if you were to blend in with a body type,
yes,
Comic-Con would be the place to do it, really.
And I can kind of blend with this hockey jersey. You know, I'm always wearing these colors and whatnot, so it works like a Harry Potter-ish invisibility cloak. If I take this off, I kind of disappear for a few seconds. Mm-hmm. Like people go like,
I don't think that's
go?
True. I'd like to call you on that.
I watch. but I've noticed as of late, like it doesn't matter what I'm wearing. Like even in traffic, people look and be like, it's that face. And I'm like, how do you pick me out of a crowd? I'm like, I don't have a distinct look. Fat guy, beard. Like there's so many of us.
Right.
And that means you're driving around looking at every fat guy with a beard going, is that him? Is that him? There's no way you just look and go like, oh, I recognize that guy.
Have you ever wondered what that must be like for a Tom Cruise or a... I've
seen it firsthand with Affleck, man.
With Affleck,
it's like
right.
You can't move.
Can't go anywhere.
You're in your house and 1,000 cameras lift because you're leaving your house. That means if you're going to go get a coffee, forget it. Every aspect, everything you're doing, you're always got to keep in the back of your mind, I imagine, I'm being watched. So you can't itch your
nuts. That's you at Comic-Con.
But yeah,
I would think it's me worse, always though. One aspect of the camera.
As a fat guy, that is me always in life. To be fair, I think honestly, famous people and fat people work from the same kind of spidey senses pool, because we know we're usually under scrutiny. Famous people because they're like, hey, that's somebody famous. Fat people because people are like, hey, you're disgusting. And normies just look at you freakishly like, this is the last bastion of monsters that are allowed in public and stuff. So you're usually under scrutiny. Like, I always catch people just looking at me. This is my whole life, not even, you know, post Clerks or something. But just like, where does his gut begin? Why are those his legs? What is it? Trying to figure out your shape. So I was always kind of used to being scrutinized and always carrying myself. So I'm always in a – I have an excellent diaphragm muscle, set of diaphragm muscles. Because I'm constantly in a state of inhalation.
You're holding it in?
I'm ever holding it in. The only time I ever let it out is I go into my bathroom, close the door. I know I'm alone and nobody's coming in. And I job out, man. I let it all roll. So I think I can understand the superstar, how they perceive the world, because it's the same kind of way of like, the moment I leave this house, everything I do is going to be possibly scrutinized by somebody. But in my case, not because I'm accomplished. If anything, it's because I've not accomplished.
Well, who knows?
Losing weight and being normal.
It could be three different things with you because you do so much.
Yes.
Can I tell the King story real quick about you coming to the King story?
Please do.
So Kevin Smith's coming to a Kings game, and I say, do you want seats, or maybe I could get, you know, some seats in a suite? And he immediately writes back, suite, I don't like people to watch me eat. Like, he's totally serious about it.
That's another thing, too. After the plane thing, it's like, I can't eat in public, because immediately if I bring the pretzel in my face, I see some cameras going up, because it's just like, it's one thing to, like, take a picture of, he's a nice guy, I always take pictures of people, but it's another thing, you get me eating food.
Yeah.
You know, that's a nice little blog hit right there. Yeah. And I love to eat food, especially in public, where the food is much better than it is at home, where things are fried in public. I took my kid to Santa Monica appear for her birthday like 2-3 weeks ago. She turned 14, and I felt like Templeton, dude, in Charlotte's Web. I was like, a fair is a bear and a smorgasbord. I was surrounded by all this amazing food that I wanted to eat, but I couldn't do it because I was just like, everyone's got a camera. Everyone's, even if they're not going, hey, it's the Clerks guy, some are just going, look at your daughter. Look at your wife. Why are you this way? So I can't be eating any of this fried goodness.
He's like
Bernie
Meredith in the Twilight Zone when he breaks his glasses and he's there with all those books.
I was Tantalus in the lake, dude. If I went for a drink, I was after.
I don't know what that means. All right, Kevin Smith is here. We need to take a break.
We haven't even started giving away our tickets.
I know.
Yet.
We have tickets for Comic Con.
Let's play a game.
Let's surrender Showbiz
okay,
Beat.
That's what I was going to ask.
Which is the next break. We'll trade out our Comic Con ticket giveaway game for that, and we'll talk about Hollywood Babylon a little bit more and stuff, but we'll carry on with Mr. Smith.
Those of you hanging on, please continue to do so, and we'll be right back. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39. Kevin Smith is here.
I dream of that, man. I wake up, I'm like, why isn't it the Kevin Bean Show?
He's always telling me, he's like, you're the best job in the world. You get to go to that radio show and just talk all the time.
That is the ideal job.
Ralph, is that how you look at it?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. All right, time to give away tickets for Comic-Con, but you're going to have
to... Can't get these tickets anymore. Sold out.
Yeah, Comic-Con is the hottest ticket in the world. You had to get tickets a year ago to get tickets.
It's next weekend. We're going to give you tickets if you can stump Ralph and Kevin. about comic book, some kind of comic book trivia.
Yeah.
Now, this seems impossible, but let's give it a shot, shall we?
Comic contest. You wanna go, to Comic Con.
It's the comic contest.
See?
The comic contest.
Whoever spent Omar. I don't know, half an hour just brought so much joy to my life. I love Karma Chameleon.
I'd say 8 or 9 minutes.
I've never once thought about adding Karma Chameleon. Oh, my Lord. It's been sitting there forever. Low-hanging fruit.
So
never saw
obvious,
it.
And you never saw it.
DJ Omar Khan.
It's our boy DJ Omar Khan.
All right. Let's start with
Bring it on.
Josh. Wait a minute. How many pairs of tickets do we have?
Just one?
Oh, we have four pairs.
Four
okay,
pairs
good.
Of tickets.
No drawing.
First four people who stump us will get tickets.
Josh.
What kind of tickets are these? All four-day passes?
No, it's a one-day pass. You pick the day.
You? Nice.
So it's still nice.
All right. Let's start with Josh. Hi, Josh.
What are you doing, nephew?
Hey,
what
Josh.
Stump Ralph and Kevin.
Hey, guys. What is
Dick Grayson's character's name after he's Robin.
Oh, son, come on.
Wait, I know, but I couldn't think of anything else.
Nightwing.
Nightwing, yeah. That's out of call if that's going to be your question, if you can't think of anything else. You're embarrassing yourself and us.
We're not playing T-ball here, man. This is big leagues.
Let's try Lewis. Hi, Lewis.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Lewis.
Stump Ralph and Kevin.
All right. In the Flashpoint universe, who plays the Joker?
Flashpoint universe. Did you read the Flashpoint series?
I have not.
I did. It's Commissioner Gordon's wife.
No.
She wasn't the Joker in Flashpoint?
No, it was Martha Wayne.
Oh, is that book?
That's right. It was Thomas Wayne's wife.
You did it!
I was going to jump in. I didn't remember that was Flashpoint. That was written by what's his name? Didn't Brian Azzarello write that?
I take it easy, guys.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
I had to show my geek cred afterwards.
No, I totally. I'm
a grower, not a shower. So I had to. I had to show
you
that
missed
it,
man.
I could stretch it out.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Julian. Hi, Julian.
He wins. He wins. That cat.
He did win. Yeah, Lewis won. Hi, Julian.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I want to know which gods Black Adam draws his powers from.
Which god does Black Adam draw his power from?
He doesn't say Shazam, so he's not drawn.
He's got another name. He's got another name, he says, another word.
He says... Miracle Man version is Kimota, but that doesn't help us here.
No,
but I just wanted to show a little bit of...
still trying to show off.
Crotch cleavage, yeah.
Black Adam, what does he say? He has another catchphrase word, and I can't think of it.
Julian, what gods?
It's actually still Shazam. It's the Egyptian version. Shu, Heru, Amun, Zehuti, Aton, and Mehen.
But he does say Shazam?
Yes.
Wow.
For the pronunciation alone, that dude deserves a pass.
Agreed. You win.
Yeah. This isn't nearly as hard as I thought it was going to be when I said try to stump us.
Yeah.
We don't know a lot at all.
Let's go to Willis. Hi, Willis.
Hey, good morning, guys. Okay, my question is, in the Hellblazer comics, how does John Constantine's twin brother die?
Constantine? What you talking about, Willis? It's Constantine, man.
He's British. He's British.
Hey, that's what Alan Moore says it's supposed to be pronounced, Constantine, Valentine.
All right then, Willis, that's the way we'll say it then.
Fair enough.
Okay, so what happened
to his brother? How did his twin brother die?
He was killed by Constantine in the womb.
No, actually, according to the comics, the father accidentally killed the twin brother when he tried to abort the pregnancy with a coat hanger.
What kind of dark morning chit-chat is this?
Idiots.
Holy good Lord, kids.
Wow. Hey, thanks for the upper.
What?
Jeez. You and me
have been stumped so hard. We're as open as the Grand Canyon. Yeah, that was it.
I don't want to suggest anything, but
we have taken
four calls and given away three pairs.
Shut up. Bring another one.
Just saying.
Bring another one.
All right, let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Chris.
Oh, hi. How you guys doing today?
Good. What do you got?
They're not well. I can answer for them.
Shut up.
What's my question? Who was sentenced to internal suffering for opening the box of seven sins in the Trinity War in 52?
Did anyone understand him? What did he say?
Try to say that in English.
Enunciate.
Okay. Sorry. In the New 52 Trinity War, who was sentenced?
I'm not accepting this question.
We're tripping over. We hear Infinity War. What's the part right before that?
Trinity War, New 52, who was sentenced to internal suffering for opening the box of seven sins.
New 52, Infinity War. I don't read the New 52, so I'm at a loss. I specifically said to the screeners, like, general comic book
questions. You guys suck.
Yeah, we're bad at this. Yeah. This is like over-promising on a sex date. Like, I'm going to take you places, baby.
I'm going to rock your world.
And then we were hugging, hugging and premature. I'm going to ask one more time to hear that question, please.
Slow it down a little bit, Chris, because we're having trouble understanding you.
So I want you to repeat the question.
Yes.
Okay, so in Trinity War and New 52.
All right, well, hold on. It's right there. Right there is where you lose us. We can't even hear the rest of
it.
Do each word one at a time. Go ahead, go.
Trinity War, the prelude.
Hold on, that's not one word.
Trinity War.
Trinity would be one word. Do them one at a time.
Trinity?
All right, Trinity and then War.
War. In the New 52?
Okay. The prelude.
The prelude.
The prelude.
To the New 52.
Who opened the box of seven sins and was sentenced to internal suffering for doing that?
Suffering for doing that.
Okay. Now, this is going to have to be process of elimination for me because I didn't read this. So
I didn't either. pre-New 52, yeah. Infinity War. Trinity War, sorry.
Spectre?
Trinity War, that was Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
thing. Spectre? No, because Spectre was
already...
Take
your time, guys.
Elongated Man?
This is what they call the active version Dr. of dead Fate. Air in radio.
By the way, Dave, the King of Mexico, is telling me that it's a BS question. He changed the question since they screened
it. Oh, son of a bitch.
So he's...
Oh, so, I had some other one, but I'll go with my original question if you like.
I don't know that we have the original.
Yeah, go with the original question.
Do we have time for him to ask another question?
We don't have time for you to ask me. Time to ask another question.
It's pretty quick.
All right, go ahead.
All right, and for Superboy, the New 52, where and how was he created?
Superman or Superboy?
Superboy.
The combination of Lex Luthor and Kal-El's DNA.
He was a cocktail baby.
The answer is he was created in the lab with Kryptonian and human DNA.
And we were both right.
That's sort of what they both said.
Oh, my Lord, we win.
I hate to tell you this, but I'm glad to let you go.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I don't like him at all. I don't want him to be a comic
book. I liked him. He knew more than us.
Don't
be scared of knowledge.
I don't like him.
This kind of knowledge?
I didn't like him, the way he delivered it.
It was his delivery.
Yes.
All right, Steve, we have time for one more question. Hi, come on.
What gangster was responsible for the death of the original Robin's parents?
Boss Zuko. It was Boss Zuko, right?
Tony Zuko.
You are right.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. All right. Oh, we redeemed ourselves at the end.
Yeah.
starting to feel like the Haley Kings in the playoffs circus. There for a second.
How dare you. All right, congratulations. Wait, did we give away, we only gave away three, didn't we?
Yeah, we still have one more.
Well, do we have time?
Yeah,
let's
come on.
Let's squeeze in one more. Let's, Ozzy, hi.
Yes.
Stump Ralph and Kevin.
Okay, who were the villains in last year's Doctor Who Star Trek The Next Generation comic? There were two of them.
Two villains. Well, I didn't read it, but I can hazard a guess.
I imagine Daleks is the one side, and then
Klingons, right? Wouldn't you guess?
Yeah,
or Romulans.
Team up between the two.
I would think the greatest hits, right?
What's your answer? I need an answer,
we'll
fellas.
We'll go. I'm sure we're close, but it's not the right answer. But we'll say the Daleks and the Klingons.
Daleks and the Klingons.
It is the Borg and the Cybermen.
Wow.
Oh, man. So we're gonna miss.
This
wrong
is the thing. We don't have looks to get to seduce people. All we ever had was this that? Stuff, and now we don't even have this, man.
Ozzy, you won tickets. Congratulations.
All right.
You are going to be at Comic-Con next week.
We gave them all away.
Wow, I feel like you guys, like Kevin was mentioning, maybe we overpromised a little
we're
bit.
We're not comic book alpha men. We're omega men.
Yeah, really.
Kevin Smith
damn
is going to be joining Ralph Garman tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv for the Hollywood Babylon.
Yes.
That's tomorrow night at, 10 p.m.?
10. Go to improv.com. You can get your tickets there.
And then a week from tomorrow night, next Friday, in San Diego at the House of Blues San Diego, they're going to be doing their Comic-Con thing there as well.
Go to CSMOD and get tickets. CSMOD.com. Get tickets there. And one more shout out, July 27th, you could see Ralph playing a large phallus in a cartoon movie. Jane's Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie returns to the New Beverly. Two screenings on the 27th. Tickets on sale at csmod.com.
There you go. Thanks for coming in today, Kevin.
Thanks for
even
having
though it was
man.
Very late, you know, better late than never.
I got to go read some comic books.
Tomorrow
I feel
morning,
so thoroughly stumped.
Yeah,
tomorrow really. Morning, a brand new Kevin and Bean show. We have the Movie Beat because it's Friday. We have Scott Aukerman talking about Comedy Bang Bang. We have Eric Andre talking about the Eric Andre Show. We have Chris Hardwick. The Nerdist himself talking about the Chorus of the Force, and we have Rob Kaczynski talking about True Blood and Pacific Rim.
Ah, great.
All tomorrow morning, and some more tickets for Comic-Con.
Jeez, that's a big show.